Our group of volunteers is dedicated to raising awareness, public awareness, of the human, environmental, and economic risks posed by the critical energy infrastructure hub. That 6-mile-long stretch of bulk fuel storage tanks that squeeze between Highway 30 and the Willamette River, just below the northern reaches of Forest Park. Many people have been working on CEI hub issues for years, some since the mid-1990s, when seismologists and later other scientists began to understand the risks posed by storing toxic fuels and other chemicals in what came to be understood as a highly dangerous seismic zone because they're located on liquefiable soil. With the added danger of it also being located at a wildlife-urban interface zone subject to the kinds of fires that we're all too well aware of. Yet too little has been done to prevent or mitigate a situation that could turn into a cataclysmic disaster at any moment. So a year ago, our task force began a concerted campaign to increase public awareness of the dangers associated with the CEI hub. Our goal is to build a constituency large enough and engaged enough to compel public officials, local, state, and federal, to work in a concerted way with the urgency the situation demands, to develop and implement long overdue risk mitigation and prevention policies for the CEI hub. Toward this end, we talked with scores of neighborhood associations, community organizations, and faith-based groups. In addition to sharing information on the CEI hub drawn from government reports and research studies, we invited each group to sign a joint letter to public officials demanding 6 specific actions. More than 80 separate organizations, including 48 neighborhood associations, signed the letter. Today, we're announcing that we have sent that letter, signed by 85 organizations, to Governor Kotek, DEQ Director Felden, members of the Portland City Council, the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners, Metro Council, state legislators, House and Senate, and Oregon's federal delegation. The letter reminds these officials that we are all just one earthquake, one train derailment, one human error away from tragedy. It highlights 6 specific areas in need of their concerted, coordinated action. Public education to ensure that area residents are aware of CEI hub-related dangers and emergency procedures. 2, monitoring and remediation of pollution at the CEI hub. 3, a new plan for Oregon's fuel storage that is grounded in a commitment to environmental justice and full community participation. 4, a mechanism to hold CEI hub companies, not taxpayers, responsible for the full costs of any disaster. 5, a system to keep local officials and emergency responders up to date on the fuels and chemicals that are being stored and transported to and from the hub. 6, monitoring Zenith Energy's operations to ensure full compliance with their contractual promises to the city and state, including promises about the safety of biofuels. These 6 actions are not random. They reflect recommendations made by concerned residents, recommendations in state and local government reports, and what we learned in conversations with professionals in seismology, geology, risk management, and emergency service. And we're honored today to have 5 of those experts with us to highlight the urgency of the issues raised in this letter to public officials. So first, I'm really honored to introduce Michael Pouncell, member of the City of Portland Planning Commission and Executive Director of the Portland Harbor Community Advisory Group.
Okay, thanks everyone. Just to clarify that I am not here representing the Planning Commission, but my community and the Portland Harbor Community Advisory Group. Portland and Oregon leaders need to make space. They need to deeply and actively listen. North Portland is experiencing slow violence of a toxic geography that is the critical energy infrastructure hub, what we call the CEI hub. We are making a call for everyone to be aware of the CEI hub seismic risk analysis. This was funded by the City of Portland, Multnomah County. The geography in North Portland poses serious health, safety, cultural, social justice, economic, and environmental risk. Every Portland neighborhood and the region will be impacted. I live near the CEI hub. If there is a seismic event, a train derailment, a forest fire that impacted the CEI hub, it would be an existential disaster for my neighbors. Folks in Linton, St. John, University Park, Portsmouth, the whole peninsula will most likely be dead or severely impacted by massive explosions, toxic vapor, or the lack of emergency services and rescue. We implore you to investigate and look at Multnomah County and the City of Portland's data by Googling impact the fuel release from CEI hub. The data will explain very complicated substance toxicities of VOCs and PAHs. VOCs disperse in the air and are toxic when inhaled, impacting residents, first responders working on the spill, and air-breathing mammals in the marine environment. PAHs persist long after the spills. Studies in Alaska and Washington suggest that PAHs are harmful to fish eggs and embryos. We need action now. We need more daylight on the CEI hub. This slow violence from the CEI hub's toxic geography may seem out of sight for now, but all of Portland will suffer from its negative impacts. We need more leadership, education, preparation from companies, and frequent updates for local first responders on their toxic hazards that are stored on their site. We are asking for leaders to do more than just account and mitigate the potential damages. We want monitoring of tankers and transport of chemicals and oils. We want new plans for fuel storage. We want more media awareness and education of CEI Hub's toxic geography. We do not want an East Palestine, Ohio, 100,000 gallons of chemicals spilled. We do not want a Mosier, Washington, 47,000 gallons of oil spilled. We do not want a Lac Megantic in Canada, 1.6 million gallons of oil spilled. We do not want a Custer, Washington, 29.9 thousand gallons of oil spilled.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Now I want to introduce Nancy Heiser, a community safety advocate, member of Linton Neighborhood Association, and the Linton Neighborhood Emergency Team.
Good morning. I'm Nancy Heiser, and I live in Linton, home to the CEI Hub. When you look at the dangers of the CEI Hub, it's not hard to understand. You can credit many reports making it clear, and having once seen, you can't go back. The Cascadia subduction zone was recognized as a still active fault in the early 90s. Substantive reports of the seismic dangers of the hub began in 2012. Some of the people that wrote those reports are in this room. Multnomah County published a comprehensive report in 2022, and recently, their very sobering report revealed more deadly gas releases during a seismic event. Despite this substantial evidence and years of advocacy by the public, we are no safer now than we were 30 years ago. It's clear disaster triggers aren't limited to earthquakes, and we have two, the Cascadia offshore and the Portland Hills fault underneath the hub. Lightning strikes are the main cause of oil tank fires and explosions worldwide. Floods occur with increasing frequency, and the hub is in a floodplain on liquefiable soil. Accidents, as have been alluded to, like the Ohio train derailment happened. Human error is always a possibility. The list goes on. It's a ticking time bomb. Living in Linton, we fear for our lives and the catastrophic effects on the city, the state, and beyond. And we witness the ongoing poisoning of air, water, and land on a regular basis. Toxins released by tanks, trains, and trucks spread in air plumes to other areas, causing chronic health problems and cancer. The Willamette River is toxic for humans and wildlife, and that poisoned water flows all the way to the Pacific Ocean. Chemicals leak into the soil undetected from tanks that are old and built to no standards. Legislation is often passed after an incident. Given the predicted scope and magnitude of a CEI hub catastrophe, the loss of human life, environmental destruction, and billions of dollars of cleanup, prevention is critical. Officials must do more. Big Oil reported record profits to stockholders in 2022. $219 billion. How much did they invest in reducing the dangers? Why aren't facilities held accountable for the risks they present? Why is industry given permits that compromise communities' health and safety? Why isn't government oversight adequate to protect us? Last year, I served on the Rules Advisory Committee for DEQ, the state's first ever oversight. Progress was made, but the program's limited scope will take up to another 9 years to make the hub structurally safer. There are critical issues right now that need all levels of government working together. Our city officials, those with land use jurisdiction, have disregarded community concerns and advanced an agenda that prioritized and supported corporations. Moving ahead beyond Zenith, we need to turn a corner. Will the new officials prioritize community rights for safety and health over corporate profits? Can we stop sacrificing the environment? For decades now, experts have revealed this reality that demands public awareness and action. Yet we meet local people every day that aren't aware of the risks. So our work is to help the public understand and call for officials to act at all levels. I'm grateful to be in community with all of you today. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. Next, we'll hear from Chris Voss, Director of the Multnomah County Office of Emergency Management.
Great. First off, I'm really glad to be here, and I'm even more grateful that everybody else is here, and thank you all for standing up behind me. I will try to keep this short for some of these folks, but I wanted to say a couple things first that I think are really, really important. And I heard from one of my peers talk about a lot of the other emergencies that have happened, a lot of the other spills that have happened. And we don't want to be like one of those other cities. We did a report a few years ago that talked specifically about the CEI hub after a Cascadia event that indicated that the spill after a Cascadia event would be somewhere around between 95 million and 194 million gallons. of oil. Exxon Valdez was 11 million gallons, to put that in perspective. So I agree with my counterpart, but I also want to say that if Cascadia were to happen tomorrow, being like one of those cities might be a best case scenario for us because of the risk that we have. And that's why I think we're all here today. There are three things that I very much believe that we need to do. And it's been said by some of my other counterparts, but I want to address some of these things. Yes, the CEI hub was built before we truly understood the earthquake risk. And they built tanks that are susceptible to both liquefaction and lateral spread, in some areas, 12 feet of ground movement. Really very, very significant. But now that we know and understand that risk, the three things that we need to do are, one, we need to improve the tanks that are there now. We need to improve their safety. Number two, we need to stop putting tanks and hazardous materials on our worst soils. And I want to say this because I think that some people misunderstand that a little bit. They're not bad soils. They're our worst soils. We've managed to hit the bullseye there. And now that we know and understand the risk, we've got to change that. And then the third thing we have to do is make sure that the organizations that are storing and continue to store hazardous materials in and around Multnomah County, that they're held accountable. We've talked a lot about risk bonding to make sure that they are have the adequate amount of insurance in place. And before this event, I talked a lot about the Act of God clause that exists in everything from the oil Prevention Act to many other rules that sometimes let these organizations off the hook after a major disaster. But I will tell you, we've known now about Cascadia and a lot of these other hazards for decades. So it's not an unknown. We know it's a when and not an if. And so we need to make sure that they have the tools in place to compensate if there is, in fact, an event. But hopefully, with my step one and two, that never happens. That's got to be our first approach. But even with all of that, I suspect that there still could be an incident, and that's why we want to make sure that they have the tools in place to make sure to reimburse the county and the people of Multnomah County for any incident that would occur. Let's stop the event to the extent that we can, but let's make sure that those organizations are accountable. I want to thank you again for being here, and I'll talk it up to the next speaker.
Thank you, Chris. I'm happy to introduce now Patricia Kohlberg, MD, MPH, Medical Director of Multnomah County for 20 years from 1988 to 2008. Thank you.
Good morning. From a public health perspective, I think there are a few things worth knowing about the CEI hub. Dozens and dozens of hazardous chemicals are emitted on a daily basis at the CEI hub as part of normal operations. These chemicals cause a broad range of harm to public health, and the fact that the companies there actually meet air quality standards does not mean that the public health is adequately protected. These chemicals include neurotoxins like lead and mercury, substances that impair cardiovascular function like nitrogen oxides and particulate matter, forever chemicals like PCBs and dioxins that cause cancer and poor pregnancy outcomes, volatile organic compounds like benzene, which cause cancer, and much, much more. Particulate matter is particularly worrisome. These are really tiny particles that are composed of a broad array of toxic substances that are breathed very deeply into the lungs, and they are the chief component of diesel exhaust, which is estimated to cause every year worldwide 20% of all deaths, primarily through cardiovascular disease. These particulates are emitted from the pipes and valves and tanks at the hub, But the biggest emissions might be from the trucks and trains and barges that come and go from the hub and sit there idling for hours on end. These tailpipe emissions, however, are not monitored as part of the normal operations and are unregulated, so we don't know exactly how much is being emitted. But furthermore, this traffic, trains, trucks, and barges, pass through north and northeast communities of Portland, of communities of color and immigrant and low-income communities, where people are dying on average about 5 to 10 years earlier than people who live in other parts of the city. There are other problems with the regulatory apparatus. The EPA standards, for example, for safe level of exposure are pegged for the adult healthy male, which means that the most vulnerable among us, women, pregnant people, the very old, the very young, people with chronic disease, are the least protected. The standards assume that people are exposed to only one toxin at a time, which never happens, and ignores the cumulative effect of simultaneous exposure. And some toxins have no safe level of exposure, including particulate matter. Companies are mostly required not to actually measure their emissions, but what they do instead is they take the volume of the fuels that are being passed through their facility and plug them into a formula to estimate their toxic emissions. The formula in question, the AP42, it has been challenged in academic papers and in the courts, and very often found not to adequately represent what is actually being emitted. Also, the companies are regulated as separate entities without taking into account the buildup of airborne toxics, which is surely happening in a space with so many polluters in such a tiny space. So in summary, Portland hosts a very toxic brew of chemicals that is being emitted into the already polluted air of Portland, and these can cause a large array of harms to public health, and the regulatory apparatus is not protective, and especially not for those most vulnerable. Thank you.
Our last speaker, and we're very honored to have, as we are with all the speakers, will be Jay Wilson, past chair of the Oregon Seismic Safety Policy Advisory Commission from 2014 to 2017.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you to our host here at Augustina Lutheran Church and to all the neighborhoods who have a show of force here today. My name is Jay Wilson, and although I work as an emergency manager in Clackamas County, I'm not representing the county, but I'm speaking from the informed position I held as the past chair from 2014 to 2017 of the Oregon Seismic Safety Policy Advisory Commission, OSPAC, in the years after the release of the Oregon Resilience Plan in 2013. I'm honored to be a part of this discussion on the Oregon CEI Hub, since the location and setting creates a concentration of extreme risk to lives and livelihoods. You've heard compelling statements today about how truly terrible this place will be when the big earthquake happens, and I would like to provide some suggested direction. The support letter has a broad point that we need a new plan for Oregon's fuel storage that is grounded in a commitment to environmental justice and full community participation. My ask is that the state of Oregon needs a 2050 vision for a well-managed, just transition of the CEI hub and a mindful approach to how all of this current risk should not be borne by our children and grandchildren as the clock continues to tick since Oregon's last great magnitude 9 earthquake in 1700. The potential for the worst oil spill in U.S. history is something that we ourselves have inherited from the community planners and energy developers over the last 100 years. Our understanding of the earthquake and the oil risk is now on our watch, and we cannot kick this can down the road. This 2050 vision needs to frame the CEI Hub function as an essential measuring point for Oregon's climate change strategy in reducing greenhouse gas emissions and our overall carbon footprint. Right now, the long-term transition from the CEI Hub's oil storage capacity is not included in the Oregon Global Warming Commission's 2035 and 2050 plans. Shouldn't the volume of over 350 million gallons of daily petroleum storage that we currently use and need be something we measure as an indicator of meeting our long-term climate goals? Will we need to maintain the same oil storage capacity for the next 26 years? In the coming months, there are two critical milestones of the 2022 Senate Bill 1567 legislation we need to be aware of. The Department of Environmental Quality's evaluation of CEI Hub seismic risk assessments and the Oregon Department of Energy's State Energy Security Plan. On June 1st, the CEI Hub oil storage facilities must submit their seismic vulnerability assessments to the DEQ, Fuel Tank Seismic Stability Program, that include assessments for geotechnical, structural, and safety elements. Once DEQ reviews and approves these assessments, then the facility owners have 180 days to submit risk mitigation plans with 10 years to full implementation. This DEQ review and approval is critical for what degree of seismic code enforcement these companies will need to demonstrate. On September 30th, the Department of Energy will submit the very first Oregon Energy Security Plan to the legislature with specific requirements from Senate Bill 1567 to address the Cascadia earthquake's impacts to energy facilities and recommendations for the geographical diversification of oil storage facilities. For energy security, we need to ask Department of Energy and the legislature, why should we continue to concentrate over 90% of the petroleum storage facilities for the entire state along the lower Willamette River in Portland and adjacent to so many impacted neighborhoods? Yeah. For the Department of Environmental Quality, we need to ask, why should the oil companies double down and harden in place their seismically deficient tanks in one of the worst locations possible in Oregon to store oil? Facing liquefaction and earthquake fault, neighborhoods, oil spills, toxic plumes, landslides, and wildfire. Where is the 2050 vision? I see these huge challenges as an opportunity to a pivot point right now to align and leverage our seismic risk to reach and supplement our climate change goals, our energy security planning, and our need to address environmental justice. There are very real win-wins in the policy alignments of all these critical issues if we can only craft an inclusive, unifying 2050 policy vision to harness what must be done. Please consider all of your individual and collective roles in reducing the CEI Hub's risk by helping to frame the future direction and decisions needed for the improved public safety, environmental protection, and energy security. Our collective public will can and should set the platform expectation for our elected and community leaders. We cannot stop the earthquake, but we can minimize or prevent the potential CEI Hub oil catastrophe while charting a more holistic path forward. Thank you. Thank you.